many thoughts in my mind today. Many thoughts. Eternity is more on my mind here in the last while than it ever has been. Not necessarily my eternity, but your eternity. My eternity is set. My standing with God is justified freely by His grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. My standing is saved. My standing is eternally saved. Because of Christ, not because of my works, for I have none. Not because I'm good, because I'm not. Not because of my heritage, because it amounts to nothing. If you go back very far, they was all in jail, moonshiners, bootleggers, and thieves, and everything else. So it ain't my heritage, right? But it's my standing with God because of Jesus Christ. Think about that. My standing with God is because of Jesus Christ. And my faith in believing what He has done. Now that's it. So my eternity is set. But I'm persuaded that many of yours is not. I'm persuaded that many that are listening on live stream today, their eternity is not set like mine is. Their eternity is set without God, without hope. And if things does not change, they'll go to hell. Right. And you, without Christ, will go to hell. I begged a man to the Lord yesterday. I've done everything I could. He stood and wept on my sidewalk yesterday as I talked with him about his soul, about the need in his life and the absence of Christ. And his answer was not, I don't want God. His answer was not, I don't want Jesus. That was not his answer. His answer was, preacher, I can't. I can't. I can't turn loose what I have. Can't turn loose. Not because he didn't want to. Not because he didn't, he understood he needed to. But he's 72 years old and he told me, I can't. I can't. Not now. Not now. His eternity is going to be hell. He says he can't. I told him it's not you. You got to trust the Lord. You don't understand what he'll do if you'll just trust him and believe on him. And all he could do was stand there and tears run down his face. That's all he could do. Tell me he loved me, hug me, and leave. That's all he could do. Eternity today is real. Eternity is real. You'll be somewhere for eternity. Though you die, you'll be somewhere for eternity. Either with Christ, just over in a glory land, or in hell. But you will be somewhere. And that's what's been on my mind for a long time here. I've preached to you all. I know to preach to you since August about being saved, but I have for years. But I want you to listen carefully. We'll try to be really, really just down to earth. Now, the power of the message will be in His Word this morning. It won't be in Mark, because Mark don't have nothing this morning. I got a concussion. I got to be careful how I move my head, because I may fall over, okay? Because I get real dizzy. So it's going to have to be the power of the Word of God this morning. That's the only thing that can move you anyway. It's not me or any actions of the preaching. It'll be the Word of God. But I want you to listen like you've never listened before. I want you to listen this morning. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 20 is where we're going to take a text in just a moment. But I want you to pray with me now. Father, I come. Lord, I love you with all I have this morning. I am nothing. Oh, how that song helped me just now. That I will bless your name. Oh, you're good to me. Oh, you're so good to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are. Now, Lord, touch me fresh. Fill me of thy Holy Spirit. May thy precious Spirit enhance the power of this word this morning. May every heart listen. May every mind understand. May you draw to people to repentance and faith in you today. I pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a tough week on several. We know that. And we need to have our eyes open to reality. And life is short. Life is short. And life can stop at any time. And I don't know that we realize that. I don't know that we can realize that. I want you to know something. When I fell Monday, I didn't know this, but when I fell Monday, now when I had a stroke back in March of 19, I knew I was down at the edge of the river. The doctors had done figured I would die, and things was rough. But Monday, I didn't know nothing. But when Rick and Cheryl was working with me, I had no pulse. I had not breathing. And it was not for a second or two. It was long enough for them to put pillows under my head, go get a phone, call, get back and work on me a little bit. There was no heartbeat. There was no breath. So what does that mean? Well, I wasn't doing jumping jacks. All right? That quick. That quick. Now, I wasn't prepared for that when I... And I did not do nothing stupid. I wasn't hanging by one leg and doing this. I went up a ladder, was standing still, and the ladder moved. That's why I fell. I wasn't stupid. There was no reason why I shouldn't went up the ladder. But no, I've been up many times, me and Rick working on my house. No reason I shouldn't. But it happened just that fast. That fast. And I was almost in eternity. That fast. I done quit. My heart done quit. I wasn't breathing. I done turned color. I was white as a sheet. Lips was blue. I was done. Brother Rick will tell you himself, the preacher's dead. The preacher's dead. Right. Now, that's not why the message. The message may have come anyway. But can I tell you, it brings more life to the message that I'm going to give you this morning. Because how fast they can happen. Remember here, not been 6 weeks ago, that I preached to you suddenly. Suddenly. How things happen suddenly. You know, he that being often reproved, hardeth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Remember that when I preached to you here on a Sunday morning just a few weeks ago? Had things happen suddenly, and people are not prepared for that. We don't think about it. We don't get up every and live every second that suddenly something's going to happen. That death will come. That heartache's going to come. That tragedy's going to come. We're never prepared. We're never planned. We're never aware that every second or any second something could happen. Libby had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. She never thought about having a heart attack. I'm having discomfort. Is it indigestion? Is it heartburn? I got stomach trouble. No, we got a heart attack. Well, even though you think it, you don't know it until it happens. Things happen. David said here in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. Because that's what we're going to read. If you read your Bible, then you'll know that Saul even though he had invited David to come into the palace and to sing for him and to soothe his evil ways and to comfort him, he was jealous, and he had already made three attempts to kill David. Already made three attempts. David's standing here, a javelin comes by, just misses him. You know, hey, this is my friend. This is the fellow that invited me into the house to have supper and sing for him, and he throws a spear at me, go kill me. Well, no, he wasn't ready for that. He wasn't prepared for that. The prophet didn't tell him, now, listen, you're going up to Saul's house, he's going to try to kill you three times. Be ready. That didn't happen. David didn't know. So what did David say here in chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3? And David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. David is speaking to Jonathan, his brother, his blood covenant brother. Okay? Jonathan is Saul's son. Is everybody with me? David and Jonathan are tight. And he said, David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. That's what David said. There's not but a step. It's just a step. One step. That's all it is. Between me and death. Can I tell you, that's all it is one step between me and death. Here a year ago, a little better than a year ago, Jared Mitchell was cutting a tree. When they found him, Saul was running, idling. He was knocked out because a limb had knocked him completely loopy. He's laying out in the woods. It didn't kill him. But he still has a little effects from it. It ain't been just a year ago that Steve's, might as well be your grandson, was hit by a limb that wasn't even around where he was supposed to be working. And it killed him dead. Two of the very same instances. I've worked in the woods with Butler. I worked in the mines. I got blown up at the plant years ago. I fell 26 feet off a house 26 years ago, or 30 years ago, and walked back in the house. It was just like, well, so what? Went to work. I had to go back to work. All right. Now, I had to go back to work. I didn't feel like it, but I went. But the point is, things happen. We never know. But I could have very well been not here Sunday today. Y'all would have probably been burying me. Huh? I wouldn't have had nobody bury me on Sunday because I wouldn't want nobody to miss church to be at the funeral. You know, I done told Cheryl never bury me on the church night or have my version. I don't want nobody to miss church to come and view a dead body. Are y'all okay? I'm just telling you, it could have happened that quick. David said, Jonathan, I want you to understand. I don't understand why, but there's not but a step between me and death. Your dad trying to kill me, and I ain't done nothing. Can I tell you that there's a step between you and death, and you don't have to do anything for it to happen? It ain't your fault. You understand? It's life. There's but a step between us and death. Young people die. Young people die. Tragedies happen. Young people get sick. Tragedies happen. People get cancer. People die. People have heart attacks. They die. People have car wrecks. They die. People are murdered. People are shot. I've told you many times, trying to get you to understand the brevity of life. I've done preached babies' funerals. I've done preached little kids' funerals. I've done preached 12-year-olds' funerals. I've done preached teenage funerals. I've done preached old men's funerals. I've done preached family men, family women. I've done preached their funerals. Everybody died. There's but a step between us and death. But yet we live like there's not. When we're young, nothing affects us. When we're young, we face life wide open, and we dare death. We do stupid stuff when we're young. I mean, we're really stupid when we're young. I mean, we'll ride motorbikes and ride wheelies and no helmets and 90 mile an hour, and we'll drive fast around curves. Then people get really stupid and they drink and dope and do these same things, and they're not even in their mind, have no control, and they don't realize that death is there just one step away, and that death is eternity. Then we get older and we get wiser, don't we? I mean, we get wild. We're smart now, ain't we? Huh? Everybody over 45, we're geniuses now, ain't we? We don't do nothing stupid. Right? We don't take no chances. None of us take chances. Right? I can beat that light. Huh? But how many people have been killed down here in our intersections? Because somebody didn't run the light. But we can beat that light. We take chances all the time. You know what I was told? I can't get it out of my mind. I was told this yesterday. You're so willing to give your life for your family. Will you get healthy for your family? How about that? Boy, that hit me right between the eyes with a broad axe. Huh? Huh? You're so willing to, I'll die for my family, but will you get healthy so you can live for them? But we all take chances. Don't we? Don't we? I take chances. I'll brag on how much bacon grease I eat. How much chicken grease I swarp up with a biscuit. Huh? I'll brag on how many hours I can go without sleep and how hard I can work and how far I can go. Huh? I'll brag at how far I can spit backer juice and how many smoke rings I can make with a cigarette. I'll brag about all of it. But what I'm doing is I'm not paying attention that there's a step between me and death. And I don't care whether you're young and stupid or old and stupid. I like what Rick's been telling us. When he was young, he was ignorant, didn't know it. Now he's old and knows he's ignorant. But we're still ignorant still. Are you understanding? David said, I've not done nothing to Saul. I've not said nothing mean to him. I've not tried to take over the kingdom. I'm just doing the best I can do. And he done tried to kill me 3 times. And I've done nothing. You're not doing nothing really for death to come to you. But can I tell you, the Bible says it's going to come anyhow. And it ain't because of what you have done. It's because of what you are. Because we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why we die. But the thing ain't dying. Can I tell you, when I was out, I never felt nothing. Just want you to know. I remember falling. I don't remember hitting. There was no pain. There was no lights. There was nothing. I was done. Now, after they woke me up, they said, what we can do is just shoot me. So I said, just shoot me. Huh? I said, hand me my arms and shoot me. That's what I said. I said, hand me my arms. What can we do? Hand me my arms. Because I didn't know where they was. I was hurting so bad. Huh? Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you this morning? We're not ready. We don't think about death. We're not ready for death. We're not ready for death as a Christian. We're not ready for death as a lost person. That's right. But there's but a step between me and death. There's but a step. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Luella went to see Jesus this morning. I don't know how old Luella is. She's got to be close to 90. She's got to be. All right? But Luella, close to 90, down in a nursing home, not knowing really what was happening, is still just like this. In James chapter 4, it says, verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." That's what we do. We get up every morning, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We give no thought of nothing. We've already, how many of you, be honest, how many of you already got plans for in the morning? Hold your hand up. If you already got plans for what has to be done in the morning, you already got plans. Right? But yet, we don't even know that morning will come. We don't have a clue. It says, we go, that's what we say. In verse 14, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." If I was asked Luella this morning, right before she saw Jesus, "Do you feel like you're near 90? I was just a kid at home this morning. Last night I was just a kid there with mom and dad and everybody. It just seemed like it was yesterday. It seemed like it was yesterday that I come to this church. It seemed like it was yesterday that I saw a brown-eyed girl come up the road in Winona, come up the holler to my pawpaws. It just seemed like it was yesterday, that I fell in love with her and make Google eyes at her there sitting in the living room of my pawpaw's house, 45 years ago, 47 years ago. Think about that. Think about that. It just seemed like yesterday, Cheryl. Just seemed like yesterday. It's here but for a season, and then it's gone. Us men, how many of you men remember your first job? Hold your hand up, man. How many remember your first job? You remember who you worked with? Well, it just seemed like it was yesterday. How many of them men's dead that you worked with on your first job? They're gone. They're gone. It don't seem possible. It just passed. Your children. Hey, I've got grandchildren that's fixing to be teenagers. Come February, I'm still a kid. And my grandchildren are fixing to be a teenager. Levi will be a teenager February. Marcus is getting ready to celebrate his 20th year school anniversary. Wait a minute, that's my son. He ain't been out of church, out of school 20 years. But then I look, man, I done celebrated my 42nd high school. Are you listening to me? Time passes so fast. But it ends. We don't know. We don't know. Life is short. It's but a vapor. But death seems way down the road. Death seems down the road for y'all. You're still working. But you're retired. Why are you still working? Why are you still working? Gene, your kids are grown. You got grandkids. Look, you're a blessed woman this morning sitting there. Family all in that one bed. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? But look how old them kids done got. I remember y'all when y'all was just in diapers. Where'd time go? Where did it go? We're not aware. Hang with me this morning. We okay? I want you to understand some things. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed to man once to die, but after this to judgment." It's appointed to die. There's been a step between me and death. I'm going to die. Everybody been laughing. How many lives you got, preacher? I got one. And the Lord ain't seen fit to take it yet. I'm not a cat. I hate cats. You may love cats. If you love cats, that's your business. I like to shoot them. I hate them. I hate a cat. I hate even being compared to a cat. I don't like cat fur. I don't like cats. I don't like pictures of cats. I don't like cats on the road. The best cat's a flat cat on a hard road. I mean, that's just me. I'm sorry. I ain't really trying to hurt your feelings or be cruel. I'm going to tell you, I ain't a cat. I ain't a cat. All right? I got one life. I've got one life. One life. And when God gets done with me, it's gone. He'll take my life because why? He made an appointment. He made an appointment and he didn't tell me what time. He didn't tell me what day. He just says, I'll take care of it. I'll get you for the appointment. It's appointed in a man wants to die. And that may not be too bad, but the rest of that verse scares me to death. And after this, the judgment. I ain't looking forward to no review. I don't know about you. I'm not really honest. I'm not scared of dying. I'm not scared of death. As I told you, I went down to the edge of the river years ago, and it's not dark. It's not bad. But can I tell you, the review is not going to be good. Now, I'm not going to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you, because I'm saved. But I am going to look at that ash pile. And that ash pile is going to be awful high when he gathers up all my works and burns it. And he gives me just maybe a handful of precious stones and gold and silver. And the rest of everything went up in a far because I ain't served him the way I should. That bothers me. Huh? It ought to bother you. It ought to bother you. And if you're not saved, the judgment ought to bother you. If you're not saved, to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. That ought to bother the life out of you. Huh? When we think about how things are, look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We still okay? Everybody follow me this morning. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, let's start at verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, we'll read down maybe verse 20. It says, and he spake a parable, this is Jesus. It says, and he spake a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall be those things be which thou hast provided? Might be this night. We're planning. I know nowadays they didn't have this when I was working. They didn't have a 401k when I was working at the plant. Didn't have no retirement. I didn't put up nothing for retirement. I worked till I die. Y'all throw me over and just bury me deep. Like the fellow said, bury him deep. He'll stink. You bury him deep. Okay? But some of you, Carl back there makes a living on you preparing for retirement. And the Bible says, you gather it all up and lay it all up for future and you're going to die, then who's that stuff going to belong to? Huh? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. See, there's not but a step between you and death. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you? It don't matter whether you're old or young, there's not but a step between you and death. Put all the money in the bank you want, but when you die, we get it. You don't. You don't. We okay? But that's how we live. You say, well, you got to live that way. Well, to an extent you do, but you need to understand that there's but a step between you and death. Yeah? I've got life insurance when I die. I don't know why they call it life insurance. Because I got to die to get it. But, huh? But it ain't for me. It's for Cheryl. Right? But can I tell you that there's but a step. But a step. Old or young. But a step. but a stamp. We okay? Now that's just in good people's lives. How about Daniel chapter 5? We still okay? Turn to Daniel chapter 5 real quick. Daniel chapter 5. Well, look at Daniel chapter 5, and some of you, y'all enjoy the party life. Some of you are waiting to enjoy the party life. Some are enjoying the party life now. Everything's good and great and okay. Let's go eat, drink, and be merry. Huh? But can I tell you, someday the party's over. Someday the party's going to be over and there's but a step between you and death. In Daniel chapter 5. Shiz Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Just going to party a little bit. Just going to party a little bit. No big deal. Just going to party a little bit. Huh? Some of you young people here, they're going to party a little bit. Go get wide angle too much. Go party a little bit. Then you say, well, I'm saved. Well, what you're taking in is the vessel of the Lord. And go put sin all in it. And party a little bit. Are you hearing me? Huh? Everybody listening? It says, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his comrades drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Can I tell you the writing's on the wall? Go ahead and party. Go ahead. It's your business. Do what you want. Live the way you want. Act like you want. Drink what you want. Dope what you want. Fool around with who you want. Sleep with who you want. That's none of my business. You do whatever you want to do. But can I tell you that someday the party's going to be over and there's not but a step between you and death and something's going to happen. Well, what's going to happen? Well, let's drop down to verse 17. Y'all okay? Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing to the king. They wrote on the wall, didn't understand it. They said, we need somebody to stand. So they got the preacher. So the preacher came down and said, here's the writing on the wall. Look at me this morning. Look at the preacher. The preacher's going to tell you the writing that's on the wall for you this morning. I'm here to tell you that there's not but a step between you and death. And when the party's over.
Right. Right, preacher.
Huh? Eternity.
Yes.
Eternity is there. Can we drop on down verse 24? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mean, Tekel, a person. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mean, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided, given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. There was but a step between him and death. Just a step. Just a step. Between him and death. Huh? Let's party a little bit. Let's have a little fun. Let's drink a little bit. Let's fool around a little bit. Let's dope a little bit. Let's take a chance. Hey, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'll be okay. Huh? Abuse that vessel of the Lord. Go ahead and abuse it. This night, Thy soul shall be required of thee for us that don't prepare for tomorrow. And then it says about Belshazzar, this night he was slain. He was slain. How many teenagers have been scraped up off the yellow line? Huh? How many teenagers have been scraped up off the yellow line because they wanted to party a little bit? Mom and dad didn't have enough backbone to make them stay at home, and they went and run around where they had no business. Huh? We don't like that first part, do we? Where mom and dad ain't got no backbone. Mom and dad's won't be their kids' friends instead of their parents. Shame on you. You ain't got no business being your kid's friend. You need to be your kid's parents. And then tell them who their friends are going to be. Amen, preacher! Huh? Because somewhere down on the yellow line, they're going to scrape their brains up, put them in a box. Huh? Then we're going to say, oh, if only. There's not but a step between us and death. Just a step. Just a step. Huh? Knowing life is short. Knowing life is that short, then how ought we live? How should you live? How about, let's look here, maybe Psalms 90. Psalms 90. This is how we ought to live. Psalms 90. How about verse 12? So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Since we know that death is that sure, since we know that there's not but a step between us and death, then let's be a little wise. Let's use some wisdom here. Let's use some wisdom. Get your head out of the sand. Huh? Get your head out of the sand. There's but a step between us and death. But a step. But a step. Many, many years ago, it was not been that many, a young man that I went to school with, he was 3 years behind me, maybe. Maybe 4. Might have been 4 years behind me. Talented ball player. Talented. Faster than greased lightning. They give him the ball. He's a halfback. They give him a ball. If he got around the end, then just go ahead and go the other side and get ready for receive a ball because he done. He's gone, man. He was faster than greased lightning. I won't say his name, but they was up at the Rock Crusher there in Winona. Up at the Rock Crusher, swimming, partying, having a big time. He got on a motorcycle without no helmet and thought he was king of the roost, you know. Down the Rock Crusher Road he went toward Winona, flying on a motorbike with no helmet. Huh? And he hit old man McMillian's truck. Old man McMillian seen him pull off the road. He pulled off the road. Over in the brush. That boy hit him going about 70 mile an hour on a motorcycle, no helmet, and his head went right through the light and the grill. But he didn't plan on it. He didn't plan on it. Now they had a memorial at school. They dedicated the yearbook, but he was in eternity. Never knowed him to darken the door of the church for any reason. I knowed him from the time he was born until the day that he died. All of his family, all of his uncles, all of his aunts, grandparents, knew the whole outfit. But a step between me and death. I just want you to understand that we better number our days and we better apply some wisdom and we better pay attention to how we're living. Okay? We still okay? Huh? Well, how should I live? Well, I probably ought to live holy. What do you think? Probably have a righteous life. What do you think? Huh? Can I tell you this morning, some of you young people here, if you want to be a big man or a big woman, live for God. Live for Him. Take a stand and live for the Lord. You know, it'll take a lot tougher man to be a Christian than it will be a sinner. You got to have a bigger backbone to be a Christian. Stand up in front of your body and say, I'm a Christian. I ain't doing that. Go ahead and suffer all what they have to say. And everybody, we laugh at Bob DeWitt. You know, Bob DeWitt's a Yankee. And you know, Bob DeWitt talks funny. You know, he talks up that accent, you know. And can I tell you, there's been people tell me, you and Bob being buddies don't match. It don't fit. Right? Well, can I tell you, Bob DeWitt's one of the toughest men I know. He got saved when he was 15. You know what they done to him? He went to school with his Bible after he got saved. And they ripped it out of his hands and ripped it and put it in his trash can to beat him up, throw him again in the lockers, kicked him on the floor. You know what he done the next day? He brought his Bible, got him another Bible, and come to school. And they done it again. You know what he done the next day? He brought his Bible. And day after day after day, old Bob DeWitt that stands up here and yodels and sings, and you think he's just so easy. And no, can I tell you, he's one of the toughest men I know. He stood for Jesus. They hated him. They spit on him. They ripped his Bible, ripped his clothes, opened his locker, threw all of his stuff everywhere in the school. Next day, he had his Bible. Y'all coming to church? We're having a revival meeting here at the school. Y'all coming? Huh? 15 years old, organized one of the biggest revivals in Alexandria, Virginia that the school had ever saw. Organized himself when he was 15. Had the evangelists come in. They run them out of the auditorium. Had to have the rest of the services in the football stadium. He went through the community getting preachers to come and work inquiry rooms to lead people to Christ. Took up collections in a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. Paid for it all when he's 15 years old. Huh? Now we can't get 15 years old to even set up and listen in a church house. Huh? Takes a big man to be a Christian. Takes a big woman to be a Christian. People like Corey Ten Boom that was molested and done everything and then still shake the hand of the man that done it and pray for him and glad he was a Christian then. Huh? Takes big men and big women to be it. Takes big men and big women to say no. But it takes a wimp and a sissy and a coward to go in sin and live in sin and drink and carry on. You're a coward if you do it. You're a sissy if you do it. Huh? Well, that's going with the crowd. Huh? You say, well, you don't know. I didn't do it. I didn't drink. I didn't run around. Never touched a drop of liquor. I don't think I'm a wimp. You might. I don't think I am. Huh? If you're going to be stupid, you'll be tough. I'm stupid, so I'm thinking I'm tough. Huh? Never know but one woman but my wife. Never run around. Never been but with one woman. I didn't date. I courted me a wife. I wasn't interested in boyfriend and girlfriends. I wanted a wife. Let me say that again. I wasn't interested in dating and having a girlfriend. I wanted a wife. There's just a step between me and death. Maybe I ought to live holy and righteous. Huh? Maybe I ought to live pleasing unto the Lord. How about back to Luke chapter 12? We okay? Huh? I feel pretty good right now. The Lord is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Huh? Luke chapter 12. Drop down to verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord has made ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Rick said it this morning in Sunday school. Jesus is coming. And we ought to realize how close it is. And we probably ought not have our hand in a cookie jar this week in case he comes. Rick said that in Sunday school. If a Lord comes this week, you've already... Can I tell you, I would be willing to bet my life this morning, and I'm not a gambler. I've never played cards. I wasn't allowed to have playing cards, just by the way. I know that fella on that TV said it didn't matter, but I wasn't allowed to have playing cards. I don't gamble. I don't go fish. I don't old maid. I don't know even all the numbers on a card. I don't know. I've only touched a deck of cards one time in my life. And I moved them from a coffee table to an end table so I didn't have to look at them. Because I was taught it was evil and wrong. Just saying. Take it for what it's worth. They're not allowed in my house. That's just me. You do what you want to do. They're not allowed in my house. Right? Never will be allowed in my house. But that's just me. All right? I'm just not going to be caught. I ask God to take away even the resemblance of sin in my life. I don't want the shadow of sin in my home. I don't want it. Am I perfect? No, I'm just telling you what my desire is. Are you listening to me? I want to live my life to where there's no question. I don't want nobody filing by and wondering if I made it in. I don't want nobody filing by wondering if I was really a Christian. I want to leave that example. A clean life. You say, well, the cards don't hurt you. That's okay. But knowing I don't do it, maybe you think I'm a little bit more holier. I just want you to understand. Are you listening to me this morning? There's but a step between me and death, and I better be ready for it. Amen. You're going to die. Listen, count it encouragement or laughter when you laugh. You're going to die. You're going to die. Bill, you're going to die. You should have done been dead. Close calls, being a policeman. You got artificial life all through you. You got somebody else's kidney keeping you alive. You ought to have been dead years ago. But can I tell you, it ain't going to last forever. Oh, buddy, you're going to die. Sherlan, you're going to die. You ain't got a helmet one. You ain't taking aspirin. Can I tell you, you're going to die. You're going to die. Huh? Teddy, you've been covered up in the mines. You've been crushed. All kind of. One of these days, it ain't going to pass you. One of these days, it ain't going to be a slip and a drip. One of these days, you're going to turn your back and the top's going to come in. Huh? One of these days, old man, it ain't going to be brakes and maybe up a lane to stop the truck. One of these days, it ain't going to be the dozer roll over and we laugh about it. Huh? One of these days, you're going to die. One of these days, you're going to die. One of these days, it's going to happen. I look back here and I see Zach Woods. Do y'all know how crazy Zach Woods? Let me tell you how crazy Zach Woods is. Zach Woods will get in a helicopter and climb out the door and step over on a power line and work on it. None of their fruitcake. And then hire men to do the same thing. And they do it. Get up there in a little plastic bucket and thousands of volts in his hands that he can't even hardly put together, and he gets it together and clamps it shut. But Zach, one of these days, there might be a hole in that glove. That helicopter might move. But you don't think about that. Because it's your job. You don't think about it. Huh? But there's but a step. I look back here at Shane. Shane has cut more trees than Paul Bunyan even dreamt about. Huh? He's had his leg broke. He's had trees on him. He's been slapped around, knocked around. He's turned bulldozers over. Ben Butler's even helped him go turn them back up. Huh? Huh? But Shane, one of these days. One of these days it might not be just a miss. See? Are you listening to me? When you get on 19, I only know, I wish somebody would figure out the percentage of chance you have of living from Flatwoods to Beckley on any given day. Huh? I'd like just to see what the percentage of you making it. Can I tell you, I allow that it's not very much. There's but a step between me and death. I want the Lord to find me doing right. I want the Lord finding me, when you sung it, come what may. Huh? Come what may. Strokes, heart attacks, fall off the house, blowed up. Huh? That's what's happened to me. Car wrecks, blowed up at the plant, fall off the house, four-wheeler wrecks, heart attack, stroke, fall off the house again. Sooner or later, I ain't going to get back up. You know? Sooner or later, y'all going to say, hello, this the preacher. And Brother Rick's going to say, I have a message for everyone. The preacher has went to glory. He'll make that announcement. He's going to make that announcement. Are you hearing me? But what if it's you? And I make the announcement when they call and they say that you've passed or you was out. Preacher, I don't know how to tell you, but you know so-and-so, they went out last night and they was doing what they weren't supposed to be doing. And they're dead, preacher. What do? I have to get on the phone and call. See, it matters. There's but a step between me. So what do? Well, you prepare for dying. You prepare for dying. How do you prepare for dying? Well, the first thing you do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. That's the first thing you do. That way, if anything does happen, then your eternity is settled. Gerald, go to piano. Guard, get us just as I am, will you please? Now listen to me this morning. That's how you got to make sure you're saved. Look at me this morning. I want everybody to look at me. It's not time to leave. Don't put your coat on. Don't put your stuff up. Look at me this morning. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you been born again? Do you know that? Look at me. Look me in the eye this morning. Do you know that you have been born again? That Christ Jesus has come in your life and changed you. Do you know that? Do you know that? Answer me this morning. Do you know that? That there's no doubt you've been born again. Do you know that this morning? That you've been born again. You've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sins and you've been saved. You know that. I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm not asking if you sin. I'm asking you if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that takes care of eternity if you say yes. But if you say no, not yet, then your eternity is here and you're hanging on the edge and you're going to hell. But there's but a step between you and death. But a step. You need to get saved. You don't have to come forward to get saved. Get saved. Kneel down in your bench right there. Grab your daddy, your mama, your preacher. Come talk to me after church. Get Brother Rick. Go outside. Raise your hand and say, I'm going outside. Somebody come help me. Then we'll go with you. You need saved today. 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 You need born again today. Not tomorrow, because there's but a step between you and death. Kids die. Young people die. Middle-aged people die. Old people die. And after you're dead, there's no salvation. Your eternity is already fixed. you are saved this morning, are you living right? Are you living pleasing to the Lord? Look at me this morning. Are you living pleasing to the Lord? Is your life pleasing to the Lord this morning? Not last month, not last year. Is your life pleasing to the Lord this morning? This morning, right now. Is your life pleasing to the Lord? If it's not pleasing to the Lord right now, you need to get up out of your seat right now, come to this altar, and rededicate your life and repent of your sins and make your life pleasing to God, because He's bought you with His precious blood and saved you, and you owe Him your life. I don't care whether you're a teenager or you're 90. Is your life pleasing to the Lord today? Is it? Is your life pleasing to Him? Do you brag on Him? Do you love Him? Do you tell Him you love Him? Do you talk to Him? Do you read about Him? Do you learn about Him? Do you tell others how great He is? Are you pleasing to Him? Is your life clean and showing that you're a Christian? Is your life holy, showing that He has come in your life? If it has not and is not, then you come now. Get up out of your seat now. Don't wait for a song. Come now and repent and live for the Lord and dedicate your life this morning. But if you're lost, you don't have to come forward. No, no. Stand up and say, I want to get saved now. We'll come to you. We'll come to you. I want Dennis and Rick to come up here with their Bibles. I want Kim. Janie, get your Bible. Teddy, get your Bible. Come up here. I want y'all to stand here. If anybody wants to get saved, huh? Steve, you and Peg, get ready. If there's anyone to get ready, y'all get ready. If there's anybody wants to get saved this morning, raise your hand. They'll come to you. They'll come to you and they'll walk outside the classroom. You don't have to talk to nobody else. Huh? We want you not to leave, because there's but a step between you and death. There's but a step between you and death, and eternity is real. You need saved today. If you're not saved, hold your hand up. We'll come to you. You don't have to come to us. We'll come to you, and there'll be no embarrassment. We'll help you. You see these people right here? They'll wait. They'll wait after church is over, and they'll be the last ones to leave if necessary. After church is over, hang around where nobody else knows. That's okay. It's okay. But if you're a Christian and you ain't living pleasing unto the Lord, don't you go hide and try to be something you're not. Get up out of your seat now and admit that you're wrong, and come and repent. We'll pray with you. Y'all understand that invitation? Let's stand together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, oh God, for your Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart. I pray just now that you will draw and move us to repentance.